Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Spirit of the Orphan, The Unique Role of a Father, by Gates of Holda, is a Christian spiritual formation and discipleship themed book that addresses the idea commonly described in charismatic and inner healing circles as an orphan spirit. The phrase generally points to a mindset of abandonment, mistrust, and self-protection that can persist even in religious contexts. The book frames a response to that condition through the lens of fatherhood, emphasizing the unique spiritual and relational influence of a father in shaping identity, security, and belonging. Because widely available public summaries and reviews for this specific title are limited, the safest way to describe its purpose is by its stated focus connecting the healing of orphan-like patterns to the restoring work of fatherly presence and to a God as Father, worldview found in Christian teaching. The book sits in the intersection of pastoral care, personal growth, and family-focused ministry, aiming to encourage reflection and practical change in homes and churches. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, defining the orphan spirit as a pattern of identity and belonging. And the central concept signaled by the title is the orphan spirit, a term used in some Christian traditions to describe more than literal orphanhood. It typically refers to an internal posture marked by disconnection, fear of rejection, performance-based acceptance, and difficulty receiving love or guidance. In that framework, a person may strive to earn belonging rather than live from it, interpret authority as threat rather than protection, and prefer control over trust. A book built around this theme usually invites readers to notice how such patterns show up in everyday relationships: defensiveness, chronic comparison, jealousy, reluctance to ask for help, or suspicion toward community. It also often distinguishes between a spiritual diagnosis and a clinical one, urging discernment and pastoral wisdom rather than simplistic labeling. The value of focusing on this topic is that it gives language to an experience many people recognize but struggle to name, feeling spiritually and relationally alone even when surrounded by family or faith community. Framing it as a pattern helps readers move from shame to awareness, which is the first step toward change in a discipleship-oriented approach. Secondly, why fatherhood is presented as uniquely formative. The subtitle highlights the unique role of a father, suggesting the author treats fatherhood not as interchangeable with generic parenting, but as a distinct relational influence. In Christian family teaching, a father is often described as a source of affirmation, protection, and guidance that helps a child develop a stable sense of identity and boundaries, where an orphan-like mindset tends to expect abandonment or conditionally acceptance. Healthy fathering is commonly portrayed as offering consistent presence and clear love that is not earned. This topic matters because the book appears to connect internal healing with concrete relational experiences, especially in the home. It implies that spiritual formation is not only a private matter, but also something mediated through embodied relationships. Such an emphasis can also speak to men who feel uncertain about their importance in a child's life, and to families who underestimate how much a father's emotional availability shapes security and trust, while experiences vary and many people thrive without an ideal father figure. The book's stated focus suggests it argues that fatherly engagement, when healthy and responsible, can be a particularly powerful counterweight to fear, isolation, and self-reliance.
What?
Thirdly, restoring a God as Father framework in spiritual life. In Christian theology, the language of God as Father is central to prayer, adoption, and belonging. A book addressing an orphan spirit often links personal insecurity to difficulty relating to God in that fatherly way. The problem is not merely intellectual belief but lived perception. Some people may profess faith yet relate to God as distant, harsh, or unpredictable, mirroring painful relational histories. The stated theme of fatherhood implies the book encourages readers to re-examine how they imagine divine care and authority. A renewed God as Father framework can shift spirituality from striving to receiving, from fear to trust, and from isolation to family-like belonging within the church. This topic also naturally raises cautions. Human father failures can distort the metaphor, so restoring the concept typically requires patient reframing spiritual practices and supportive community rather than pressure to simply feel differently, even without specific verified details of the author's method. The theme strongly indicates an aim to help readers connect their spiritual identity to adoption language common in Christian teaching, so that belonging becomes a starting point for growth instead of a prize for performance. Fourthly, generational patterns and the responsibility to rebuild trust. A father-focused approach to orphan-like patterns commonly addresses how wounds and habits can pass through generations: emotional absence, harshness, inconsistent discipline, or silence around pain. The point is not to blame, but to recognize that family systems shape expectations about love and authority. but action. When a book highlights the unique role of a father, it often calls fathers and future fathers to intentionally interrupt damaging cycles by practicing consistency, humility, and repair after failure. Trust is rebuilt through repeated actions, not declarations, and the most meaningful changes tend to be ordinary listening, keeping promises, showing up, and apologizing without defensiveness. This topic also speaks to adult readers who must process their upbringing without being trapped by it. In pastoral context, naming generational patterns can empower people to grieve what they lacked while taking ownership of what they will cultivate now. Because available external information about this specific title is limited, it is most accurate to state the theme at this level. The book appears positioned to motivate responsibility and restoration, urging families to pursue healthier relational dynamics that counter the isolation and insecurity associated with an orphan mindset. Lastly, practical implications for families and faith communities. A book centered on orphan spirit and fatherhood naturally extends beyond individual healing into community practice. In many churches, spiritual formation happens in relationships that resemble family mentoring, discipleship, and spiritual parenting. The idea is that people who feel orphaned need more than information, they need consistent belonging and trustworthy leadership. The unique role of a father can be applied both literally in the home and figuratively in communities where mature believers provide guidance without control. Practically, this theme may encourage readers to evaluate how their environments handle vulnerability, correction, celebration, and inclusion. Orphan-like cultures often produce competition and suspicion, while family-like cultures emphasize honor, accountability, and shared responsibility, even without confirmed step-by-step frameworks from the text. The book's purpose suggests it aims to move readers from diagnosis to live change, strengthening marriages and parenting partnerships, encouraging engaged fatherhood, and prompting churches to be places where people can receive affirmation and develop confidence. This topic positions the book as both personal and communal, tying inner transformation to the everyday structures that either reinforce fear or nurture secure belonging. In conclusion, Spirit of the Orphan, The Unique Role of a Father is best suited for readers interested in Christian inner healing, discipleship, and family life, especially those who resonate with themes of abandonment, self-protection, or chronic striving for acceptance. Fathers and prospective fathers may find its emphasis clarifying, since it presents fatherhood as a meaningful calling with spiritual and relational consequences, not merely a social role. Pastors, mentors, and ministry leaders who care for people with trust and attachment struggles may also benefit, because the orphan spirit concept often functions as a pastoral lens for understanding why some believers struggle to receive love, guidance, or community. The practical value of a book in this category is its potential to help readers name patterns, reframe identity around belonging, and pursue restoration through presence, consistency, and healthy authority. What can make this title stand out from other orphan spirit books is its narrow focus on fatherhood as a distinct lever for change. Many related resources emphasize general healing or personal deliverance language, while a father-centered approach places responsibility and hope in concrete relational formation at home and in spiritual family settings. Readers seeking a tightly themed, father-oriented perspective within Christian growth literature are the most likely to appreciate it. If you would like to support Gates of Holda, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.